As I've been preparing for this week, I've thought of a lot of different things. And I will say it, as I get older, something becomes more and more realized in my life, and I'm sure many of you can recognize this as well, that life moves quickly. It's amazing. I mean, I'm just becoming more and more aware of how fast things are happening, that life often seems to be passing by, whether we recognize that or not. But if we recognize it, then we should also understand that in the midst of the response to the fact that life is passing by, that we need to be intentional. That we need to start not just noticing, but actively participating in the midst of what all is before us in that way. We are in the midst of a series. We're in week 3 here. We've called Pre-Decide. If you've been with us, you know where we've been, but we've talked about, especially at the very beginning, that the power of decisions that we make, because our direction in our life is often determined by the quality of the decisions that we make as we go through life. Because decisions are incredibly important, and we make a lot of them, from the very little and what seems like mundane to the more important things in life, and yet most of us are not great decision makers. And so in result of understanding that, what we have been trying to do as we've been moving forward is understanding that we don't need to wait until we're in the midst of a stressful situation or some other kind of situation to make the decisions to live into the values that God has called us to do. That we can, understanding that we get to choose, maybe not all the situations in life, but that in response to this kind of situation, I am going to be this. And so we've decided that we want to live into 6 specific values that reflect the goodness of God as followers of Christ. 2 weeks ago, we recognized that Satan is on the attack. He's constantly coming after us. We recognize that, and so we understand that we are called to be ready. We're to be aware of what's going on. Last week, we looked at the understanding that and the value of being consistent, that we're going to determine not that the why that brings out the devotion, that it's not just a matter of emotions and desires and this and that, but that we're going to go deeper in understanding why we do what we do, and that we would live into the process that moves us forward in who God has called us to be. Today, I want us to look at this concept and value of devotion. That with God's help, we're not just going to be devoted to a workout or to a diet plan, but more importantly, that we would understand we are called to be fully devoted followers of Christ, which then affects all the other things. Matthew 6:33, Jesus is talking in part of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about all the different worries that people have, you know, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to eat, and all these different things, and he says, don't worry about those things. He says, but in verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well. It's the priorities. We often get these priorities backwards. We tend to worry about all the other things, and then we try to fit Jesus in on top when we're stressed out and freaking out. And God is calling us to a different priority, that we must seek first the one who matters most, because I am devoted to Jesus. But that prompts us to ask the question, well, what does it mean to be devoted to Jesus? And I think we can find a really solid example of what that looks like from the book of Acts in chapter 2. Jesus has died on the cross. He's been buried. He's raised from the dead. He's walked his 40 days in the midst of his disciples and challenged them and done all those different things. He's ascended back up into heaven. And now in the midst of it, they've gathered in the upper room, these disciples and all these people that are followers of Christ. And they've been told, wait for it, wait for it. And it says that God sent a mighty wind, a pneuma. Same word for spirit. And his spirit indwelled into his people. And they leave out of that room. They get out of the four walls. And they go in the midst of the people of Jerusalem. And it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And as they did those things, as they focused on things that would bring them closer to God, closer to understanding their calling by Him, the result isn't a pious chip on the shoulder, but that everyone around them started noticing what's going on and the change in their life. And it says that they were filled with awe at the many wonders and signs that were performed. You see, the key in all of that is, of course, the Spirit. They're being led and filled by the Holy Spirit, but also that they were devoted to the things that would make them close to God. And then God added everything else. The result is that they become effective in ministry. Not this professional ministry, but understanding that ministry is life. In the midst of where we go and what we do, that as we become image bearers of Christ, we take God and through the Holy Spirit are empowered in what we do. And because these neighbors look on them and they see them and they notice something is different about you. I just can't, you know, what is it that's changed? You used to be like this. I've seen you. I saw you over here, you know, at the cafe. And you're not talking the same way that you used to do. Their devotion was evidenced by a changed life. Now, the Greek word that's translated devoted in this portion is in the imperfect tense. I'm horrible at grammar. I will tell you this, but this is really important. Because when it says that they were devoted, it does not mean that they were devoted, but now they're not. It's not a one and done kind of thing. The understanding of this word of devoted is that they were devoted, they are devoted, and they will continue to be devoted. That it was an ongoing, continual devotion that was throughout their life. They were enjoying this ongoing pursuit of Jesus. And so they set the pattern for us. That we should take note, that we seek the one who matters most, and we continue to seek the one who matters most. But I think we also need to acknowledge that we have an issue in the church. Not just this church, but the church in general, that we might call casual Christians. I'm not pointing fingers. But the general attitude is this: I kind of believe in God. I like the idea of God, but you're not going to see it or hear about God in my life. I may go to church every now and then when it's convenient. I try to be a good person, but you know, no one really knows about it because I don't want to be religious. And most of us may say, well, that's not me. And that very well may be. And yet, I want us to think about something. This, God stepped on my toes a few dozen times this week. And I want to share something. There's going to be a thing up here in this box that they're going to show has 168 different squares. This box represents 1 week of your life because 1 week has 168 hours. Now, most of us probably agree that you tend to devote your time to the things that you're devoted to. And so we should ask, where do you spend your time during the week? And I know there's a lot of variety. There's a lot of ebbs and flows in life, different stages of life. But I did a little research on the averages. And it may not totally fit, but it's going to give us a good perspective, I think, this morning. So to start out, you spend about a third of your time sleeping. Sleeping's good. I admit, I like sleeping. That bed is awfully comfortable in the morning. And at night. But that's where we spend our first third of our time. Some of you spend at least 40 hours at work or school during the week, which leaves you exactly 72 hours left in your week. Some of you more, some of you less. I understand that. The average person that's on social media spends over 17 hours during the week. No pointing fingers. Some of you are like, ha, 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 that's not me. I'm not this. Let me just put this out there. If you watch TV, the average American watches 21 hours a week. So let's just call it screen time. This leaves you 47 hours for what we might just call life. All the different things that we tend to pile in. Errands, taking kids everywhere, going to the doctor, fishing, hunting. If you have a kid in sports, then a lot of this is consumed right there. Getting gas in your car, going to the grocery store, cooking something, cleaning things, paying bills, mowing the yard, working out, doing all the things with your friends and whatever else you might do. And then we have that one little thing. Oh, wait, we're Christians. Yeah, we have to give that hour to God. And many of you, I understand, devote more than 1 hour a week to God. I get that. But some don't even do that. And yet, they still call themselves Christians. If you invest only, and this may be obvious, but if you invest only 1 hour a week in anything, you're probably not going to grow or improve significantly in that thing. If you exercise only 1 hour a week and eat anything you want that week, you're probably not going to be in peak health. If you spend an hour a week, only an hour a week in the same room with your spouse, you're probably not going to have a dream marriage. If you only study 1 hour a week, students, you're probably not going to graduate at the top of your class if you graduate at all. Moms, dads, don't look at your kids. But the thing is, if we're only partially devoted to God, if we're only spending time with God that when it's convenient, when it's easy, when we don't have anything else to do, it shouldn't surprise us when we fall back into those sins and traps that often bind us. When it feels stale in our relationship with God, when we feel stuck. In fact, if we only give God what's left over, do we really need to ask the question, are we really devoted? Because if we really want a full, devoted enrich life with the things of God, it won't happen by accident, because life is going to pass us by. Other stuff is going to take over. No one ever says, I was just doing life and going with the flow, and I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, I'm super close with God. I mean, I've got scripture just memorized, oozing out my brain. I am, man, never tempted, nothing. I'm morally pure, none of that. It's not going to happen that way. If you want to be fully devoted to Jesus, it's never going to be accidental. You have to decide ahead of time to live with an ongoing pursuit of Christ. And if you're like many, you're wondering, well, what do we need to do? I mean, how do we do that? I want us to look again at John chapter 15. In John 15, Jesus is likely near a vineyard, or they're definitely in the area. He's got all these people around, and he's talking with specifically with his disciples, and he says in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Don't miss the relationship here. Jesus is the vine. You are the branch. Don't get that reversed. Make sure you understand your role. You are the branch. And when you, the branch, are connected to Jesus, the vine, what happens is that you begin to, and you live into that understanding, is that you begin to bear spiritual fruit. Galatians 5 says that these fruit bloom together. That it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That those things begin to become evident in your life. Because when you're the branch and you're connected to the vine, your life starts to be full of what really and truly matters. In fact, there's a word that keeps appearing up in John chapter 15. 11 times, in fact. It's got to be an important word. It's this word, remain. Jesus says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This word comes from the Greek word, meno. It means to abide, to dwell, to live into. It's not just, this is not just a 1 hour a week duty to God where I do my little Bible reading and I maybe go to church just to please God. It's more than that. This is thankfulness and reaction to understanding what God has done for me on my behalf. And as a result, because I am now have hope, I have joy, I have all these different things that I have to endure. In a response, live differently. And so I am going to be completely and wholly devoted to the one who matters most. In case you understand, the branch needs the vine. If you don't stay connected, you're a dead limb. You lose your life source. And that's why we must pre-decide not just to let life happen to us, but instead that I am going to decide ahead. I will predetermine that I will seek the one who matters most, because if I'm not connected to the vine, I don't get the spiritual nutrients that my life craves, in fact, needs, because I am a branch. Your assignment in life, as a follower of Christ, is to understand you're the branch. Be the one who needs, seeks, and stays intentionally connected. And to do that, I just want to give you some handholds this morning. We need a game plan. We need an intentional game plan, because seeking God, following God, is not something that we just hope to do. We have to be intentional about it. So we start with a time. We start with a time. We can't wait for everything else to happen, because then we let everything else consume us. And I don't know when your time's going to be. I'm not going to set it for you. Some of you, it's at 4 a.m. I only have 1:04 in my day. So that's not me. Unless it seems that I'm turkey hunting. Then at some reason it changes. But I don't know what time it's going to be. But maybe it's before the kids get up. And you find that's the most quiet, and that's the time you need for the day. That's your God time. Awesome. Maybe it's drinking while you're on the, you know, drinking coffee. Which is all day long if you're me. Maybe it might be before you go or after you go to the gym. I don't know. It might be after you get the kids to bed or you get them off to school or whatever. Whatever it is, you need to understand that the way the human mind functions is we are a people of routine. And we need to set that routine intentionally. And so we need to set a time where I am intentionally going before the Father. That I am diving into His Word. That I am connecting in a way that's not going to happen if I'm not paying attention and being intentional. But as you do that, then we also need to understand that we need to decide a place. Again, we are people of routine. I know I am. I can do things at home and work at home, but I get very little done at home when I need to do, because my mind, when I get into the office, it switches. I can't do it all year long, but I know when I go sit out on that porch, my heart every morning lately has especially been drawn. You get the coolness of the breeze, the birds are singing, all the different things. It's the start of a new day, and I can sit on the porch. But we all need to find that space. That when you get there, your mind and your heart knows what it's being drawn to do. Maybe it's a specific chair or at your kitchen table or your back porch, I don't know. But you need to decide, this is the time, this is the place. And then it's also good to have a plan. Maybe it's some kind of routine that you develop of a devotional. Maybe it's one of the Bible reading plans that we've provided. There's a lot of them out there. I don't know, maybe it's journaling, but you need to do something. You need to figure out what is it that's going to continue to draw you closer to God. What is it that I can be intentional in doing this? Because you might have all these different things that you need to do, but we need to decide that this is the place, this is the time, this is the plan, because I only have 168 hours in the week. You don't get more. But there's always a chance you might get less. And when you get less, understanding you're standing at the foot of God. And is He going to declare, "Welcome, thy good and faithful servant"? Because the other option, none of us want. But we have to not give what's left over, that we have to seek first the one who matters most. Because what happens as we do those things, we just start walking with God. In the midst of all the other things, in the midst of the errands, in the midst of the cleaning, in the midst of the fishing and the hunting and the sports and all the different things, we find that we are walking with God, that Our time with God is not just limited to the time block that we set of 10, 30 minutes or 1 hour or whatever you do throughout. But throughout the day, we should be talking and listening to God. Understanding that God is not just limited to a certain time frame, but that as our hearts are tuned to God and aligned to God, we can start becoming more in relationship with God. And I develop a posture, a mindset, a mood of seeking God. And when we do that, things start to happen. Boy, do things start to happen. He starts to convict me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I should do this and say this. That God starts doing things and changing me from the inside out. Because God isn't just getting what's left over in my life. But instead, I spend time with God and I devote my time with God, and He has my life, and I lay it before Him, and God say, you know what, God, use this. Use my working, use my play, use my errands. If I need to and I bump into someone, may your spirit understand that I need to pay attention, that maybe I need to be praying for that person. And then when I encounter Him, give me the words to say. Or sometimes, God, give me the words not to say. That I would be in tune with your spirit. Because I've done the things that I need to do to make sure I am connected to the vine. Because God is not just a part of my life. God is my life. It's a full-time devotion to the one who matters most. And so throughout the day, I'm setting aside and I'm seeking God because He's the one that matters most, that I'm talking to Jesus, I'm listening to God. He's starting to impact my work life. He's starting to give me wisdom and the words to say. He starts to correct me. He starts to guide me. He starts to lead me in ways that align with His. Because we understand that the Holy Spirit isn't limited to this hour. But the Holy Spirit is moving in the midst of His people. And understand this, the Holy Spirit's moving in people that don't understand Christ yet. And sometimes when we are being obedient to God's Spirit and He puts that prompting and God's Spirit is moving with this person and they don't know what's going on, that the two come together and we start participating in God's work. And that doesn't happen if we are not tuned to the Father. We need to have a sense of urgency. Life's moving fast. We need to honestly look at our 168 hours and ask ourselves, what do I believe deep down in my heart? What is it that really matters? What is it that's going to outlast my time here on this earth? Who is it that matters most in my life? I want to devote my life not only to something that's to things that are self-centered like the world, that are easy and comfortable, but I want to stay connected to the vine so that I'm sensitive to the Spirit and God's voice, that I would be able to reach out and make a difference in a moment. You have to seek first the one who matters most, because you will never accidentally live a fully devoted life to Christ. So what do we have to do? We have to set a time, set a place, know the plan, and give God everything. Because He is who He is, and because He matters, He doesn't get what's just left over. He doesn't get what's easy. He doesn't get what's convenient. He doesn't only get my attention when there's nothing else going on. I have a time, I have a place, and I have a plan. Because when it matters, you make a plan. And let me tell you, there will be times and places that there's going to be a lot of resistance to that. You're going to be distracted. There's going to be reasons to quit. And so you have to pre-decide, I am going to be fully devoted to Jesus because Jesus is the vine and I am a branch. Be the branch. The branch needs the vine. It's not optional. I need to stay connected to the vine because he is the source of life. And when you're connected, there's love and there's joy. And we find peace that's understandable in the midst of our world, in the things that are going on. And there's patience and there's goodness and there's faithfulness and self-control and gentleness and all these other things that are part of God's life and who he is. And I need to make sure that my life right now, that Jesus isn't just a part of my life, but that he is my life. And you think, well, you're just the pastor, it's easy. Let me tell you, it's not. I have to be just as intentional, because otherwise it just becomes routine. And my life with Christ is never called to be just routine. Therefore, because of who he is, and because eternity is real, and because time is short, I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to invest my life in things that matter. So what I do is I've had to pre-decide that I'm not going to wait until tomorrow, because I already know what's important. And so I've had to reorient, rediscover, move some things around in my life to make sure that I was investing my time properly with first things first. Or as my dad always says, keep the main thing the main thing. We're reminded that Christ, he prayed this same prayer. He was praying for God. Hey, God, if there's any other way for this to happen, let's do it. But most importantly, not my will, but yours. As the ushers come forward to take communion together, I ask that you'll hold on to those and we'll take it together. Because we're reminded that as he gathered his disciples on that evening, as they were having this Passover meal, on the same night that he was betrayed, that he took the bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, later that night after dinner, he took the cup and he said to them, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me."